August, welcome back to Letting It Linger. We are here today with designer and artist Jessie Flatman.
Hello.
Very nice to have you here. We're super excited. We hope everyone's enjoying the sunshine. It's absolutely gorgeous seeing everyone outside.
I feel like everyone's just non-hibernating anymore. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I feel like I should be in one of Jessie's dresses, like in a crochet dress, just like living my life.
There you go. Yeah, except your tan lines. Maybe something on me.
Maybe like a slip dress.
Last night it would have been really funny that like, we had marker, God knows why, but we had marker, we were drawing ourselves, and I was like, oh, if that leaves now, like a tan line of like.
Oh my God, that happened to me before.
But really? Festival.
I had face paint, like a line on my forehead, and it stayed there.
Oh my
and
God.
The rest of it was kind of tan. And
that's mad that the UV rays doesn't go through it.
Yeah, I think it was just paint, to be honest. Not even face paint, just, you know.
Just paint.
Just paint.
Yeah, I suppose I might block it. Yeah. That's good. So do you want to tell us, just for our listeners who might not know, like, who you are, where you're from, the gist of what you do, a little rundown.
Yeah, so I'm an artist and designer. I'm based in West Cork at the moment. I grew up there.
Love.
Lovely. It is lovely.
It's that's where we're headed now tonight.
Yeah.
I'm from West Cork as well,
No, West Cork is fantastic, but it's just very quiet. But I studied fashion a long time ago now, to be honest, in LSAD, the art college in Limerick.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, art and design. Yeah, it was great. I really, really loved it.
Yeah. I always was so intrigued. Sorry, Nate, not to come across, but I love when, you know, like, I hear people and they, like, study, like, really interesting degrees. I'm like, get it, girl.
I don't know how to say that, though, but, like... I would find that interesting, like what you're studying, you know, because that's not what I've experienced.
Yeah.
It's kind of my norm, but I do understand, like, when I'd interact with people in college in like UL and my homework per se was like colouring in, they're like, what the hell?
That's brilliant though. I'm so jealous.
I feel like that suits different people though.
Their own. Like, yeah. I think that's like the thing. I think once you're doing something that you like love.
I love to see artists as well when they make it their what they actually do, like when they have a studio and I love to see them flourish.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
It's very exciting to see friends around you doing the same as well. Yeah.
Do you have your own, so you have your own studio and?
Well, I'm kind of living in a wooden cabin. So I have my own space now, which is great because I did have to like move home because, you know, and now I have my own space and we're kind of working on a bit of a studio space. So that will be really exciting because I can just imagine all my work.
Yeah.
I'll be able to focus so well.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of based there at the moment, you know, but I very much want to kind of try and figure out how to do my work while also living my life, you know, being able to travel and work and stuff and run the business.
It is so fair. Yeah. And I think even like, you know, since like the pandemic, I think like a lot of people now have like definitely way more of like a work-life balance, which I think is so important to take like that time and like recuperate.
Yeah.
Regenerate.
It's fantastic to see. We really, really do need it, like to understand work doesn't have to be everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Can you tell us a bit more about like the pieces that you love to create? Obviously, I love your hats. They're so cute. The ones that you make out of dead stock fabric. Is sustainability like a big part of what you do and repurposing? That's really cool.
Now, I won't claim to be completely zero waste because that is very hard.
Yeah.
But I kind of balance it with, at the moment, I'm using found materials from secondhand shops and everything. So and it's great, you know, because you kind of get your inspiration from what you see.
Yeah.
And you see the textures and the colors and you think, oh, I know what I can make with this. And then also, like, to balance that out, it's really nice to crochet and kind of see it just present itself in front of you from nothing.
So I
try to source ethically when I can and sustainably. So yeah, I'm like scavenging around secondhand stores all the time.
Can imagine you in like queue
getting
sales.
All the good yarn.
But I feel like charity shops and secondhand stores, they're like hidden gems. Like you always find something you wouldn't realize.
Oh,
and like all the curtains that
shop,
you can cut apart and like sew different things with.
Yeah.
Like I love to see fashion made out of something that's
definitely
that had a different life
but
before.
I think even like now I think it's definitely way more, and like consumers and people like our age and like in our generation definitely have and are willing to spend the money that from something that is like locally made, like Irish brands have become like huge. Mm. You know what I mean? And I think it is so important to push the message for sustainability and like sustainable consumption as well, mm-hmm. because God knows, like, we have like everything at our fingertips now. Where, like, you know, like, you're like, I, do you know what happened to me? I'm the worst for putting like red, like having a white wash and like making it go like some random color.
I know.
It's like,
oh my,
like,
God.
It's like the most like terrorizing thing. I did it before. I was meant to go to Donegal on a surf trip, and I had all these lovely pairs of like white linen pants and like white jeans, and I was like, why are they all polka dotty and spotty red? But anyways, yeah, like, do you know, and it is lovely, even though, like, you know, I could have definitely gone, just went in and got a new pants and Bershka or whatever. Mm. But it's nice. I was like, do you know what now? A Sunday activity and a big bowl of dye.
That's fantastic. I was just going to suggest, like, that's, no, it's a great way to keep things going. Because I also think you've, like, put that second life of love, something mm-hmm. personal into it. It's just mm-hmm. so special to kind of rework things whenever you can. And it's so possible for anyone to do.
And did your love for fashion come from when you were younger?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my mom actually studied fashion, so it was kind of just...
Oh, lovely.
Like, for a while, the irony was that I was kind of, like, thinking, I should probably do something else because this is just the most obvious path. And then, you know, like, is there anything else?
We do,
and
I realised,
like, no, like, I literally... I couldn't imagine myself doing anything other than
was it always fashion that you wanted to go into, or is it kind of more art, and then it, what led you to doing what you do
more
now?
More art, I suppose. I mean, I definitely call myself an artist and designer mm-hmm. because I'm not very good at sticking to one thing. I think artists generally, you know,
flexible. That is the creative, like, of it. And I think genuinely, like, art is such a, I think sometimes, you know, when you were saying like you love to see artists flourish, like, I genuinely love when I see artists and they, like, it's always the process that I think is so much more like rewarding mm-hmm. and like you like see the process and you're like, wow. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even more so, like, obviously we can always like appreciate like the output of it, but like it's always nice to see the process, and I think that's like so gorgeous.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, I think it is stereotypically not an easy path because we really, you know, even in art college, we're not told how to get there. You know, you can work on, you know, who you are as an artist, what you want to create, but then once you leave, you have no idea how to get your work out there, and no one can really tell you a format. Mm-hmm. You have to just
learn by trial and error.
Absolutely. And then you know, I guess having a community around you of fellow artists, and then you can kind of share, bounce off each other, collaborate as well. That's great. Like being in, like, being a big fish in a small pond as well in Ireland.
Yeah.
Like, people, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a big fish. Being a small fish in a small pond. But, like, being able to support one another and yeah, it's, you know, it's very helpful. But it's that's much more exciting absolutely. When you see people get going.
Especially when there's so much talent on the island as well.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I love to see it. Like, and I feel like everyone is happy for each other. Like, loving to see. There's
We're
not, like, a
nice
sense
bunch,
of...
Aren't we?
Yeah, there's not enough.
Awfully live.
Yeah.
We'll play a little song that Jessie suggested for our little interlude.
Oh yeah, lovely.
The smell of her perfume. to come.
We are back with Jesse Flatman.
Better than
hope
ever.
You enjoyed that little interlude music. Yeah. We're going to keep that going throughout the show with our chats and then a little music to keep going on this lovely day.
If
you're just tuning in now, we're interviewing designer and artist Jesse
Flatman.
And she's going to tell us now about where you can find her creations and kind of about that process.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, I mean, so my label at the moment, well, I say at the moment, my label is Jaff Studios, J-A-F, and I sell my pieces in Omdiva. So I don't know if you guys have ever been inside. It is this glorious boutique of secondhand vintage garments. And then the woman Ruth that runs it, she's so lovely, and she's such a supporter of independent fashion designers. So it's on Drury Street.
Did that open recent enough? Because when I lived in Dublin, I never
found
it. And that would have been so up my alley. And when I saw it tagged on your Instagram page, and I was like, oh, that sounds so familiar.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many years it's been going for it. So I'm not a Dublin girl. But I've really seen, like, from visiting Dublin, I've really seen Drury Street grow a lot recently. Mm. So maybe it is like the last.
Where is Drury Street? Is that might be a bit of a silly question to ask, but where is Drury Street?
I'm actually not sure. Yeah, I'm not great with Dublin.
It is very near, like, Temple Bar. Kind of
okay. Easy accessible, so.
You're not
taking us out to Malahide, like.
No.
When did that, so like what was the process with that, and like when are you looking to expand more, and like what are like kind of like the future?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of studios? Knew that was definitely something I had to aim for, is to stock my stuff in a store. And I was kind of, you know, trying to make lists of anywhere in Ireland that could be the right place, because when you have something that's sort of like a piece that maybe not everyone would feel comfortable wearing, I don't know, it's, you know, possibly like
your pieces are gorgeous, but I can see how they're kind of like out there, and it would take a certain type of individual with that style.
Yeah,
but that's cool as well, because that's like what you want. But I think maybe if someone like sees it in a shop, they'd be like, oh, I wouldn't think about that, and then like try it on, whereas it's kind of daunting sometimes to look at it online and be like, oh my god, I don't know, could I pull that off?
Sure. And there's an interesting thing of, like, you know, when you see someone else wearing it, you're given this option of how to style it, this kind of slight validation, like, this is a good piece to go with, you know. And it just gives you a bit more confidence in purchasing something. But yeah, so I knew I had to find a stockist, and then I just kind of found the right moment to catch Ruth and chat to her, show her my work. It kind of aligned with one of my balaclavas was worn by, do you know, Kate Nash? She's come back, guys. She's
she was wearing
balaclavas in her music video. It's my friend. She's a fantastic stylist and designer as well. Rian. So Rian Honora. And so that was really exciting, and it kind of gave it like a bit of a check, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I feel like you definitely must have felt so proud as well. Like, that's huge.
It was very exciting. Mm. Yeah, it's like typical. I kind of like went, okay, yep, got that now. And that means nothing. And, you know, everyone had to be like, no, a win is a win, Jesse.
A win is a win, Jesse. Yeah,
it's
very,
very
is.
Exciting. Yeah.
That's unreal.
You just have to think back to, like, how you were a few years ago, and if you told your past self.
What would you tell your past self? Like, what, like, how much have you changed over your journey as an artist, would you say? Like, what are your biggest influences? That's a very tough question, I guess. But
well, how I've changed, I've changed so much out of just, like, when it comes to fear, I had, yeah, I just didn't have that self-belief for a long time, and that's going to be my number one priority, growing and telling yourself, like, you can put your work out there. You know, and a lot of people think that they shouldn't put their work out until it's at this perfect level.
Unbelievable, yeah.
And then you're stuck in this loop where you're actually not going to be able to grow unless you do put your work out there and learn and think, okay,
taking that step.
You got to just, like, accept that, you know, things don't have to be perfect, and love the work you do and where you're at. So I think, like, past me would just go, like, yes, thank God, like, all that work paid off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my influences, that is a tough one. I suppose, like, many designers, like John Galliano, Vivienne Westwood.
I can see that. I
love Vivienne Westwood. Yeah,
yeah, I can see the, like, Vivienne Westwood.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous.
It's like, watching those runways.
Especially your piece, the mohair. What's the moor, the photo shoot that you did, and it's kind of like grungy. I could see the Vivienne Westwood. Yeah, I thought those pictures are so cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was like the color scheme, and it's kind of like emulating the Irish wilderness
real
as well.
Dark.
Yeah. So would you say that, like, what it, like, your nature influences you? Because I could see, I know when I, like, sometimes when I look at art, I could, like, it reminds me of certain aspects of nature, and against wearing, like, reminds me of, like, the sea or seaweed. But I feel like crochet always reminds me of that, like, mermaid kind of wear.
So true. Or, like, fishnets.
Do you think, like, growing up in West Cork in that sense, like, influenced you in that way?
I'd say it must have.
Yeah.
You know?
Even subconsciously.
Subconsciously. And, yeah, just kind of looking at nature and things, and just those, like, intensely bright colours. I think my work does, it's certainly, like, I like my strong colors. I don't know. I still have, like, plans of doing a big kind of slightly funny photo shoot by the sea with, like, big yellow wellies, and you just can't tell what's fishnet and what's crochet.
Ah, that would be really cool.
I was just inspired by a lot of things, and I think in art college, like, doing fashion as well, it's so much fun being able to, like, you really come to art college and you think, oh my God, I can wear what I want, and there's confidence, and people are kind
of
going, like,
the days of, like,
what are you doing?
Really? Gosh, yeah, because I even found it funny, like, going from that transition from, like, secondary school where we weren't allowed more than one piercing, and, like, I remember I dyed my hair, like, electric red, and it was, like, the shell shock of my principal's life. Like, his, like, their world was collapsing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then, like, you start to, like, go for it, push boundaries, and you realize, oh my God, there are no boundaries.
Yeah.
You could just wear what you want. I mean, look decent, I suppose, in college, like, not just full on bikini. But, you know, like, in this weather, maybe.
Yeah.
But I really found, like, it enjoyable to kind of build up these sort of personas almost. Mm-hmm. Like, me and my friend would go, oh, what are you wearing today? I'm like, I'm kind of doing, like, pirate theme. It's kind
so
of
cool.
Before core, so but I guess it's kind of happening now, you know, where people go, oh, it's like, what are some of the ones now? Office core?
Office siren.
The bloquette.
So I've always had things like that myself, of, like, pirate core, this, like, silky kind of Vivienne Westwood-y look that I really like, and it kind of helps me to be me as well. It's not like becoming another person, but it's just giving me that confidence, because that person's, like, strong and knows who they are, and
definitely.
You know, I think that's it. I kind of put a lot of my heart into, and my journey into, my designs.
I feel like you could definitely see that through your designs. No, it's beautiful, and I love to hear what Iris is talking about, like, the process through how they make what they make and why they make what they make.
Yeah, because I always think there is definitely something, like, behind that, like, you know what I mean?
And I feel like it can even be subconscious, but,
you know,
I think,
like,
it's such a beautiful process.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Like, you know, and you said, like, you loved Vivienne Westwood, and, like, Vivienne Westwood, like, her, like, fashion was so, like, radical and so, like, political and, like, such a statement that, you know what I mean? I think that's just incredible, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, get it, girl.
She really showed, like, Fashion can be a lot more than just making clothes, making everyone just wear it and then change it. You know, it just it can say so much.
Yeah, and be
so influential, like in history.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, even like, like she was tied in with the Sex Pistols band. Am I right in saying that?
I think
like
so,
her husband was the manager of the Sex Pistols or something like that.
And then her first store was called Sex. It was just very like, here I am.
Out there.
This is who we are.
Yeah.
We're going to cause controversy.
Yeah.
If you had a dream Jazz Studios like store, like your own pop-up store, what would you do? And like, what would be the vibe? And like, how would you do that? I think it'd be really cool to see.
Yeah, I think I'd like it to be somewhere... maybe other than Dublin.
Yeah.
It would be popular enough that people know to come to it. And just be, like a real, like, curated space of, like, kind of an exhibition almost. Mm-hmm. Like, I would want to, like, paint all the walls and, I don't know, lots of kind of effects and things everywhere. And people kind of chill out. Maybe it could be a bit of a club as well. I don't know. And like a collective.
I'm imagining it now. That would be so cool. Mm.
Yeah, I think I want it to be a collective space for other artists and designers to come in as well. Mm. So that's,
lovely.
Great. Thanks,
guys. We'll have a little... yes, coming next to Jazz Studios. We're going to play a little song for another interlude, if I could speak. This is Love Has Found Its Way by Dennis Brown.
Enjoy. Yes.
So thankful that you
Welcome back. That was Love Has Found Its Way by Dennis Brown. Oh, and I'm breaking the mic.
Real? What you'd want? What
We're
you'd want?
We're here with Jessie Flatman, and she's going to tell us a bit about her time in Bali and kind of what led her to the inspiration for her crochet pieces, which you could find in On Diva Boutique in Dublin.
Cool.
So take it away, Jessie.
Yeah, so I guess after college, I don't know how to compact this story, to be honest, but I found like I was really just drained from doing fashion. So I thought, I don't know whether I can study fashion. I really do want travel to be a big part of my life.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know how to incorporate the two at that time. So yeah, I kind of went traveling and ended up doing that for 3 years, because I was teaching English abroad as well.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was fantastic.
Where were you teaching?
And, at first, I was teaching in a school in Cambodia.
Stop.
And it was lovely. It was all through art, you know? So I was like, okay, this is a beautiful way to connect back to my creativity, teaching, like, about like 3 to 5 year olds, and it was so enjoyable.
Really,
they're so creative and expressive
yeah.
as well.
Yeah,
I love seeing children. Like,
it's a great way of kind of unconsciously teaching words, because if you're teaching maybe say colors to these kids who don't speak English, and they might not have even spoken like Khmer, Cambodian yet, but then suddenly like they realize that if they want to use
the
that red color and they're a really creative kid, they're gonna start like recognizing all those colored pencils and being like, teacher, can I have the green one please? And so yeah,
it's just class.
Those kind of like things that you wouldn't anticipate. But yeah, and then I was teaching English online as well. COVID hit, so I ended up being in Bali for 2 years, just kind of time escaped me, and that kind of made me really focus in on like getting back to creativity, thinking what can I do that sort of doesn't take up a lot of space. I don't have to have a whole studio for it, and found crochet was really calming through all the stress, really enjoyable. Really, really recommend everyone do crochet.
I started crocheting. I bought my own.
Fantastic.
Did you? Crochet Bless. Hook and like little colorful wool. But that's my God, it's abominable. Like my I made a tried to make a scarf and it was really short, and then I just couldn't get it like thick. So I was like, oh, I give up.
I'm sure.
I'm so bad for that, like starting
that's
hobbies,
so
and then
funny.
I'm like, oh, I'm tired. I made it into a ribbon instead.
Yeah.
Maybe
good.
I should try just crocheting the granny squares, because I want to make a blanket.
Yeah.
And I feel like
that's
a good way to start, because you just make one square, and then it's like, you can make four and have a small little blanket, or you can make as many as you want.
I've made, I don't know. That's so class. Did you crochet before?
So I was going to say, like, the first time I tried, I was terrible at it. Like, my mom was teaching me and she was like, it's funny, actually, you're just not getting it, are you? I thought you'd be good at this.
Thanks, Mom. Shout out Jessie's
and,
mom.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom. Well, do you know, I got there in the end and
you told her.
To her again. And yeah, I came back the next time. I think I just had a bit more of a patient approach. Like, it's a slow learning curve.
It does take patience.
Because you have to get so many different things, your coordination, the tension. So the next time we did granny squares, and then straight away I was making snowflakes for Christmas, and we were like, oh, there you go now. Like, okay, she's got it. And I still am terrible for not knowing like how to follow a pattern. Really.
Okay.
Do you kind of make your own patterns, actually? I wanted to ask that. Like, do you?
I don't have, it's not that I don't have the patience. It's just that my joy for doing it is from like figuring something out myself.
Yeah.
And it really, like, crochet lends itself to that kind of technique. Like, I think knitting, now I can't knit. And I think I used to, but I think it's different in that you can't create so much structure. It's not as forgiving. So really, like crocheting is really, really fun to try and just loosen up and just go with it and make mistakes, and you can kind of figure out how to fix it. So I make the patterns out myself.
Yeah, that's
try and write them down before I sell the stuff, and then I'm like, oh no, how did I make this? Yeah,
I'm kind of the same. I make jewelry, and I'm always like, if someone buys a pair of earrings and then they're like, oh, like my friend would love to buy them, and I'm like, they're one of a kind, like, you're not getting the same pair again. But I kind of love that about fashion and art. That's like what draws me to it so much is how different it always is and how you can express yourself in different ways. And I kind of love the idea of one of a kind pieces, or even like what I kind of first saw of your work was like the hats that you made out of the, you know, spare fabric, and I was like, each one of those is so different because it's made from the scraps, and I think that's so cool.
Sentimental value to it as well.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask as well, like, you, if you scroll down on your Instagram, you know, you have your paintings and your art, like, what kind of were the process of going from that? I know you talked about discovering the crochet, but like, does that art still influence your work? Do you find that it's just through a different medium, or has your style evolved or changed?
I think that I really found my use of colour, my bright colours and everything through that, and I do return to painting when I need to kind of balance out, like, if crocheting and sewing feels too much like work, then I'm like, okay, you know, find your joy again, go painting, don't take it so seriously, and don't worry, like, no one has to see it, and then you kind of reset yourself a bit. I do want to kind of focus again on painting when I have a bit more time, but I can be susceptible to be a very, like, all my eggs in many different baskets.
But I think that's, it's something to be so proud of, though. Do you know what I mean? To be able to be so creative across so many forms of, like, mediums and be so successful at it as well, and be genuinely so talented at it, I think it's such an honor to you.
That's also such a healthy way of looking at it, in that, like, just going back to something that, you know, is peaceful, and that you don't need to do for work. Because I find sometimes at art, like, loving art myself, I found that my creativity was kind of stamped out when I had to produce it for a reason.
It was like, I remember, like, being in art class and, like, in school, and being like, you draw this life-stilled banana, and if you didn't get it, it was not right.
like getting a C on your art, and then you're like, what's the point? You know, but that's not art, that's just regurgitating. Well, it's school,
but
I find that can happen when people make their artwork their business. It can kind of take away from the creativity almost, but that's such a good way of looking at it, like you said, and that you go back to the painting.
Like, and it's so true.
That's,
like,
so important.
And, like, even, you know, what you said there, like, it's so funny how, like, you're like, oh, I'd gotta see an art, but it's me, like, the concept of even grading art in, like, a school system, I, like, think it's crazy.
Because people are different, like, at different types of art. You know? I love lino printing. That would be my favourite form of art. And, like, those, that kind of style of drawing. But I'd hate, like, still life and really super detailed painting. I'm just not great at that. But, like, I love the making, like, batiks and working with fabric and fashion. So that's, like, a different form.
Absolutely. But, like, you know, and even going down to, like, the pieces that you make, they are definitely, like, very, like, on the edge, and, like, you know, which I think is class. But I think, you know, as you said, like, there's just so much more to it than just, you know, here are we to judge on someone's art form, like, you know.
I did really find that I had to kind of
Do you think that was, like, a limitation in college when everyone was going down, actually, like, one particular
was your experience?
I mean, art college is so valuable as well in so many ways. I just think that sometimes if you are susceptible to being quite conscious about your work in comparison to others, you know, they say do not compare yourself, but you unconsciously you're going, no, I don't, but you're doing it a lot of the time. And I really found that, like, if I wanted to explore painting, there was this voice in my head that was going, like, I can imagine the tutor saying, like, that's not art, you know.
It's crazy, like,
a style that, you know, it's contemporary art, like, people, I don't know, like, they want it to sell, they want it to be new and contemporary and say something, but you kind of have to realize that, like, any form of expression is your, like,
is your right expression to
do. It's like, it's your unique path, like, everything that you've done in your life, like, in some small way leads to, like, your, like, what you're creating in front of you, so you have every right to do that, and so that's art, you know. And I think, like, remembering that has really helped me.
That's amazing. I think that's really good. That's, like, quote for our description of the podcast. That's really insightful.
Yeah.
We'll take a little song break.
A little suspiog.
This is Swing Easy by Skeletor.
Enjoy.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. That was a little bit of Bob Marley to get you in the summer mood.
I know, I was
thinking
that now.
So summery,
yeah. God, yeah, that's a great song. I love Bob Marley in the sun.
If you're just tuning in now, we are here with designer and artist Jessie Flatman, just to reintroduce her. And she's about to tell us about kind of the process and how what it's like, you know, being self-employed and self-employed as an artist, and how do you like juggle that with making sure you have a work-life balance? And
I definitely have to kind of supplement it with like doing other jobs here and there. Like, I mean, for example, like next week I am invigilating for the Leaving Certs because my old art teacher was like, I know that you probably need to
that is such a good gig though, because it's only a couple of days, isn't it? Like 500 quid.
Is it?
I think it's a good I think it's a nice chunk of money.
You sit there. I did the invigilating for the junior 16 early, like in my school. I knew how it happened is that they get like TYs to do it for like the Leaving Cert, but I just sat outside the room on my phone and just like had a box for people's phones and stuff, and just genuinely that's all it was, but it was like such handy money, like
grand.
How do you sign up for that? Maybe I should sign up for that.
I feel like thank you to Miss Harley because I Miss Harley. Feel like it's a good gig for the starving artist.
Definitely, like
it's kind of I think I am at an advantage just kind of deciding to live in the country, you know, like living in the city, it just wouldn't have happened for me.
No, it's so hard. Even if you have a 9-to-5 job, like no one can afford it anymore. You know, even with that like stability or so. Yeah. So there's no point really. You may as well do what makes you happy.
You'd have to sacrifice a lot of time. You might even just not be able to do your work on your art. But I think you've got to kind of adapt and see what you could kind of like work in alongside it. You know, I know a lot of people that do fashion and they work as stylists as well. Or people that like are painters that work in the film industry. You know, these kind of things that help you, they give you a bit of freedom. Like those jobs, they're not as structured. They're not you know, you don't know when it's next coming to you, but it does give you a chunk of money to kind of keep going. And I think getting used to that thing of, you know, I don't like make a huge amount of money, but then sometimes it will come to me, and if I just not spend it, sometimes I'm like, drinks for everyone. Just living on less, you know, going to charity shops anyway and for clothes and stuff, that really helps. So it's kind of it's just living that kind of life.
Definitely. Does that ever scare you coming out, like I presume you were early 20s coming out of college? Did that scare you, not having a, because I think like not having a job, because I think for a lot of us in college, you know, like although it is incredibly conformative, but it is, you know, a lot of us, you know, and not a lot of us, but you know, people with like who are doing like engineering, there's always like a need and a demand for them.
I think as well people like do feel that pressure from families often and themselves and society. Like, just get a good job, you know, be
settle
secure.
Down, get the girl.
And there really is something in that. Yeah. Like, that stability is fantastic. And I envy that stability a lot of the time. But I think it's just the family I came from. Like, my dad runs his own business. So it's...
Entrepreneurs it's all around, like...
Yeah, it's just the norm, I guess. Like, the idea of working for someone else isn't normal for me, so it's kind of hard to imagine it. And I've done it before, obviously you have to, and that's fine. And I actually like I loved that structure and getting that work done. But I do just find that like because I know I want to be my own boss, that everything I do leads to those goals. You know, kind of the idea of manifestation in that like you're driven towards it.
And like, and it'll work out the way I'm a big believer. Things happen for a reason, and things that don't work out are lessons. And I feel like the universe brings you, not to be all woo, I mean you can tell I study philosophy, but I'm like the universe will bring you thinks, what so you need.
I just think that's fascinating though as well, because often it's just the language that people use and how like it really lines up like spirituality and philosophy, you know, in just how you act, like living by those terms. Mm-hmm. I think it's
would
just,
you say that influenced your art a lot? I feel like I could see that through your art. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I think finding my own way through that and being like forgiving and gentle and kind of saying like if it's not happening yet,
it will happen.
I do really think, because I came to it a bit late considering how long ago I finished fashion, and now I'm just seeing it flourish at a time where I'm a lot more confident and able to like take the opportunities that come to me. So I'm thinking, wow, like it's happening now because it was meant to happen now, and that's why you didn't rush into it, and it's great, you know. So people shouldn't feel like it's a race with something like this at all, with anything. It's not a race.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's crazy to me.
We're nearly at the end of our show, so I kind of want to ask our last question. You know, like, what's next for you, and what do you see on the horizon for Jaff Studios?
Well, yeah, I think I'm just going to keep creating, but like constant new ideas, like of things I want to make, and just try and do some more collaborations and projects and get my name out there, and hopefully you'll be seeing more of Jaff Studios.
We'd love that. That would be really cool.
Unreal. Yeah,
thank you so much for coming into studio today, Jessie. It was so lovely to chat with
you.
You're
learned awesome so much. All the best for the future.
Check out her Instagram, Jaff Studios, and you can check out her pieces. And then if you're in Dublin as well, pop into Om Diva next time you're up there, and we'll see you next time. Slán.